You'll turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. Studying through the book of Hebrews, we've already looked at this beginning section on Abraham, but we'll continue to look at it tonight, Hebrews 11. And again, looking at verses 8, 9, and 10. There's a point to Hebrews 11. And that point is made clear in chapter 10 and verse 36. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. We need endurance, fortitude, perseverance. This is the message of the whole book of Hebrews. As Christians, we are saved by grace and through faith, and we know that our sins are forgiven. We are redeemed. And yet, as Christians, we still have this sin nature. We continue to struggle with sin. We have to live in a hostile world. There's much within us, there's much without that would tug and pull us away from God. And so God calls us to hold fast, to endure, to persevere to the very end. And we are to do this by faith in Jesus Christ. The great theological theme of the book is the superiority of Christ. As we focus our faith upon Him, that gives us the spiritual energy to continue to persevere. It's not just by gritting our teeth. It's not just by trying harder at the Christian life. It's not by following a list of rules to keep ourselves in check. And it's not just by pumping ourselves up with some kind of pop psychology. We are to endure, persevere by faith, and faith in God's promises, especially as we see them in Christ. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. In chapter 10, verse 38, quoting from Habakkuk, "My righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back. We are of those who persevere. We endure to the very end. We are those who have faith and are saved." Tonight, I want to look again at this example of Abraham as a man of faith, a man who endures, a man who was a sinner, and a man who lived in a hostile world, and yet one who endured to the very end. Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 8 and reading down to verse 16. "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Let's pray and ask for God's grace as we study his word. Father, we do ask that you would lead us and guide us, direct us as we think about Abraham and this very familiar account that we find in Hebrews 11. We pray that you would give us eyes and ears, and hearts and minds that are open to your truth. We pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to impress upon us your truth. Your word is truth. And we pray that you would sanctify us by your word of truth. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's begin by looking at some just general lessons about faith from Abraham. Three general lessons just on faith. Some of this is review as we've looked at Abraham before, but just to summarize some of what we have thought about as we've looked at this chapter. First of all, with Abraham, we can certainly see where faith comes from. How is it that you and I can have faith? Where do we get faith? You know, is it something that we have to work up? Is faith something where we try to convince ourselves that something is true when we really know that it's not, or that everybody else is saying it's not? And so we try to convince ourselves of the truth and work ourselves up so that we really believe. Where does faith really come from? Faith comes from hearing. And hearing what? We're not born with faith. Creation is clear in showing us that God is there. Anybody can see that. You don't need faith to see that God created this world and that there are certain attributes about God. There are certain truths about God. He's revealed himself in creation, in nature, in history. Romans chapter 1 talks about the way that God reveals himself to people. And so we know that God is there, but as we come into this world, we don't trust him. We don't rely upon him. We don't turn to him and give thanks for the good that he has shown to us. We don't come into this world trusting God. What we come in with a spirit of independence, an attitude of pride or fear or doubt. And so faith is a gift. It's something that God gives us and he works in us. In God's providence, this morning we read in a different context from the Heidelberg Catechism. It was question 65. After confessing how we are right with God and reading that answer, that it's only by true faith in Jesus Christ, question 65 says, "It is by faith alone that we share in Christ and all his blessings. Where then does that faith come from?" And we read the answer this morning. "The Holy Spirit produces it in our hearts by the preaching of the Holy Gospel and confirms it through our use of the Holy Sacraments." Exactly what Paul says in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. And so faith is a gift. It's a power. It's an ability that God works in us when he makes us alive in Jesus Christ. It's a gift that comes to us through hearing God's word. And we've seen this all, and we'll continue to see it all through Hebrews 11. Very clearly in the example of Noah, verse 7, by faith, when warned about things yet not yet seen. That is, God spoke to him and God warned him. God spoke a word that created faith in Noah. Again, we clearly see this in Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed. God creates faith in us by his sovereign spirit and through the hearing of his word. A second general lesson is, with Abraham, we can clearly see that faith without works is dead. When God gives you faith and enables you to believe in Him, you can never be the same. You will be a different person. The change is going to be obvious. Abel believed, and so he offered to God a better sacrifice. He brought God his very best. Enoch believed, and so he walked with God. Noah believed, and so he built an ark, and he got in it, even though all of his neighbors were laughing at him. I think we usually think about Noah building the ark and people around saying, "What are you doing?" But you realize that a day came when Noah got in the ark and just sat there. God shut the door and the ark just sat there waiting for that water to come. And how the laughter must have been loud outside of that ark. What is Noah doing just sitting in that big wooden box waiting for rain? Here we see that Abraham believed, and he was never the same. He heard God's call. He believed God's promise. He obeyed God's instruction. He didn't just sit there. You know, God's word didn't come to him and he just sit there and think, "Well, this is really nice. This really explains the purpose of life. And this gives me a new perspective on my worldview because God has just spoken to me." He got up and he left his home. And he went to the promised land. He didn't just sit there and think about God's word. We know it was difficult. He had no idea where he was going, no idea what his new life was going to be like, who was going to be in the promised land when he got there. He had no idea what difficulties he would face. And then the third general lesson on faith is that with Abraham, we can clearly see the dual character of saving faith. That is that we are saved by faith, but then secondly, we are to live by faith. Faith is always the starting point in our relationship with God. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. God sovereignly called and created faith in Abraham's heart. He was saved by faith. But then Abraham continued to live by faith. It wasn't just that one act of faith in God's call so that he moved, but every step of the way he was living by faith. Verse 9, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents. As did Isaac and Jacob with him. Faith is the first step in our conversion and in our life with God, but faith is also the second step. And it's the third step, and the fourth step, and the fifth step. It's every step of the way, it's by faith. We get up and go by faith, and then we live and dwell in the land by faith. In our evangelism, in our sharing of the gospel with other people, we should never think that our work is done if we have just presented the gospel to someone and even gotten someone to pray and receive Christ or to experience some kind of a conversion. God's good news is that sinners can be saved by grace, but God's good news is that sinners are to live by grace through faith. The Great Commission from Jesus. Go and make disciples, not just converts. And so our evangelism has to embrace both that sharing the gospel, evangelizing what we call, but also the making of disciples, following up so that people learn not just how to believe in Christ for that initial forgiveness of sins, but that they continue to believe in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins every step of the way. Now, tonight, what encouragement can we take from Abraham's example? And just four lessons tonight. First of all, let's remember that faith will help us deal with our difficulties. Faith is something that God gives to us so that we can deal with the difficulties of life. Have you ever thought about how difficult Abraham's life was when he was called? Genesis 11 is the record that we have of his initial call from God. It's a summary statement, Genesis 11, beginning at verse 27. This is the account of Terah's family line. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur the Chaldeans, in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now, Sarai was childless because she was not able to conceive. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. You know, the very first thing that we're told about Abraham is that his brother has died. We don't know how that happened. Was it a hunting accident? Was it some illness? We don't know, but whatever it was, it had to have been had some strong effect on the family for a man to lose his brother. Then we're told that Abraham got married, but he married his half sister, and I don't know about you, but that just doesn't sound right to me. And he says later on, you know, well, she actually is my sister, when he lied about her. Then we're told that Sarai, Abram's wife, couldn't have children. There were no heirs, no one to carry on the family name. There was no one to provide for the family. When Abram and Sarai would get old, there would be no one to care for them. There would be no one to defend them. In that culture, your family was your army. That was your protection. They not only worked the land, but they defended you from any attacks from outside. And then God calls Abraham. Abraham has to move. While they're traveling, his father dies. His orphaned nephew, Lot, can't be left alone, and so Abraham takes him in. You know, one after another, these family responsibilities are just being dumped into Abraham's lap. You know, I never asked for any of this stuff, and yet here it is, just falling in his lap. And then when we're told that when he arrives in what is supposed to be the promised land, there's somebody already living there. They've already taken possession of the land. It's the Canaanites. And it's not the most encouraging start to a story. And yet that's what real life is like. Stuff happens. A dysfunctional family. Uncertainties about the future. Messed up relationships and pressing responsibilities. And yet what we see with Abraham is that he doesn't give up. He doesn't turn around and go back. He doesn't refuse to follow what God says for him to do. By faith, he faces each difficulty as it comes. And by faith, he says, God, you are greater than any difficulty that I'm facing in life. Second lesson, faith will help us deal with the unknown. By faith, Abraham obeyed and went out, not knowing where he was going. You've heard it said before, faith is not a destination, it's a journey. And that's what faith is. It's a journey. It's something that you're on. You have to walk by faith, live by faith. We're saved by faith, but that's not the end of the story. Every day we live by faith with our face toward the unknown. Do you have any questions about life? Anything that haunts you? Something that you think about? You know, what is God's will for my life? If I do this, what will happen? What's this going to cost me if I make this decision? If I choose this, what will it mean for my children? How high are gas prices going to go? How much do I really need to retire on? If I take this job, what does it mean? If I stick with the job that I've got, what is that going to mean? We have all of these questions. We face the unknown every day. What if I decide to follow God's calling in my life and then things start going wrong? People start dying. I have trouble with relationships, getting stressed out with what's going on. What if I get sick? You know, who's going to take care of me? What if I die? You know, is there anything really on the other side? Is God going to be there for me? Every day we're faced with the unknown. And so many people, I think, allow the unknown to paralyze them into doing nothing. This can happen in a person's life. It can happen in the life of a church. You know, we just don't know. And so we become paralyzed. William Barclay says it so well in his little commentary. He says, most of us live a cautious life on the principle of safety first. To live the Christian life, there is necessary a certain reckless willingness to adventure. If faith does not involve risk, it is not faith. If faith can see every step of the way, it is not faith. That's living by sight, isn't it? Barclay says that's not faith if you can see every step of the way. I had no idea what would happen if Libby and I adopted two young girls from South Korea. How's that going to work? Had no idea how a man with a wife and four children could just change in the middle of life and go to seminary. And Palmetto Presbytery saying, you know, even without an undergraduate degree, even if you got a master's degree from seminary, there's no guarantee when it comes time to be ordained that you could be ordained. It takes a certain amount of risk. You know, how do you build a sanctuary in the worst economic times that we've ever seen? How do you call an associate pastor when you're not sure that the money is going to be there to pay him? And you have stories just like that as you think about your own life. That risk factor, facing the unknown, where faith carries us through. If faith does not involve risk, it is not faith. If faith can see every step of the way, it is not faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed and went out, not knowing where he was going. Third lesson, faith will help us deal with being alone. By faith, Abraham lived as an alien in a foreign land, a stranger in a foreign country. In moving, Abraham left behind everything that he was familiar with and that he knew. Boyhood home, his friends, his neighborhood, the culture in which he was living and accustomed to. His brother was dead, his father was dead, and now he's living far away and in a strange land. Those of you who have done any traveling for business know the feeling of being in a strange place and being alone. My family's not with me. Some of you know that feeling no matter where you are or who you're with. You just feel alone. The empty nest. Your children are grown and moved away, or your parents have died. You feel cut off. I still remember the sense when my mother died. And I don't have a big family, but when she died, it was the end of all information about my family and growing up. There was nobody else I could go to and say, you know, what was I doing when I was 8 years old, or where did we live, or something like that. It was just that very real sense of being separated from everything in my past with my father and mother dead. Or your spouse has died, the house feels empty. You've gone through the pain of divorce, or you've never married. There's nobody there with you, and you feel very much alone. Faith is God's gift to assure you that you are never alone. The pain of human companionship, the lack of human companionship is still there, but your faith in God helps you to deal with that pain. Faith will help us deal with being alone. And then fourth and finally, faith will help us deal with our yearnings for something better. Not just the call of Abraham as we have it in verse 8, but verses 9 and 10. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. The only real experience I've had in living in tents is in the army and stationed in Germany. We would be deployed from time to time just to test our readiness for the Russians in case they decided they were going to attack Europe. My mother said when I left, you're just going to go soak up bullets until Washington can figure out what to do. And we were stationed right in the Fulda Gap where the Russians would come pouring into what was then Western Germany. But we'd be deployed and we'd have to live in tents, and sometimes it'd be for a weekend, sometimes it would be for a week, sometimes it would be for 30 days. It would always be in the winter when it was very cold. There's much more to that term, the Cold War, than meets the eye at first glance. The only good thing about living in a tent is you know that it's temporary. This is going to come to an end. These things are not made to last. They rip, they tear, they rot. They don't last forever. These things are not made to serve as permanent dwellings. Eventually, we are going to go home. One of the points being made here in Hebrews 11 is that Abraham never built a house. He never grabbed the land that he lived on. He was willing to be very loose with the land, as we know with his relationship with Lot. You know, you choose some land so that we don't fight all the time. You take some land. He never laid a foundation in this world. He was 75 years old when God called him. He was 175 when he died. He lived in tents for 100 years. And even when he began to have children and grandchildren, he didn't stop and say, well, I really need to build something more permanent here for them. He wanted them to look beyond that present experience in that land and to look for something better. I think that one of the reasons why God does not always give us physical healing or give us the job that we need or that we think that we need or remove that difficult person from our lives that is bothering us or grant us that one thing that we really think I need is to remind us that we're only living in tents. You know, this is temporary. God doesn't want us to be fully satisfied with everything that this world can supply apart from him and his promises. We are going to take life seriously. We're going to take our vocation seriously, the calling that God gives to us, whatever that might be, teachers, doctors, artists, homemakers, engineers, parents, good neighbors, whatever that calling that we have in God's, that God has given us in life, we're going to take that very seriously. We're going to do our very best for the glory of Christ and for the building of the kingdom in this world. But don't think that what we now see is all there is. Remember, Abraham living in tents by faith and with fortitude, yearn like Abraham for something better. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of faith. We thank you that you do not expect us to work up some kind of confidence in you. You give us your word. We're able to read that word. We're able to open our Bibles and to read. We're able to come to church and to hear your word read and expounded and preached upon. We ask that you would use that word in our lives to grant us the gift of faith and to continue to grant us those gifts of faith, that we would believe. We would confess our unbelief and yet in the same breath ask that you would fill us and help us, that we would believe all of your good and gracious promises as they are given to us in the pages of our Bible, knowing that they have been purchased for us through the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that you would cause our faith to be strong, that you would help us to overcome those fears and anxious thoughts, and that we would indeed step out and lay hold of all that you have for us as your people. And we pray that you would encourage us in those moments when we find ourselves faltering and doubting. We pray that you would strengthen us in our faith as we follow you. We pray that you would strengthen our love for one another as we look around and we embrace our brothers and sisters who are here and that we come into contact with, that we would encourage them to live by faith. Help us to pray for one another, to love one another, that together we may run this race with endurance. Father, we thank you so much for this day that you give to us, that we can stop what we are doing during the week and we can have this time together as your people to come into your house, to pray, to sing, to fellowship, to hear your word. We pray that you would be with us as we travel to our homes and grant us journey mercies. We pray for a good night of sleep, that we might be restful, that we might be prepared for this new week which has begun today. We pray that you would give us, again, eyes to see and ears to hear, minds and hearts that are open to your leading in our life, that as we come into contact with various people throughout this week, that you would use us as good representatives of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.